Welcome back to Pride of Detroit PODcast, PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit PODcast, where we are just empty calories.
Wow. You're empty taking their side, huh?
Yeah, probably. Meanwhile, as this guy, these guys have been racing. I apologize if you hear anything in my background. These guys have been racing like home-built mopeds around my block about like 8 times. But yeah, that's where we're at. Empty calories and someone who's going to bleed us dry and put us out of business and mopeds. All that and more on the Pride of Detroit PODcast. That voice there was Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit Online. I'm Chris Perfett, the adequate host at Chris Perfett. Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore POD. I just heard him a second ago. I think he wants to get in here. What do you have to say for yourself, Ryan?
I just wanted to make mention that this podcast is brought to you by any soda that you can think of, because empty calories.
Pop.
Soda.
No, I have to go with him there, Jeremy. As I did in my unpopular opinion thing, I think soda's won this culture war. I love to call it pop too, but I feel like I'm fighting a losing tide even when I come back home.
I think this might get us more negative reviews than the political talk.
Than the wrestling talk.
Oh, I can't believe I can't talk about what happened last night. But anyways.
Why can't you talk about it? Hold up. You cannot do that on a podcast. You cannot say you can't talk about what happened. This is we've been doing this too much. You guys say, oh, haha, this thing on the podcast. Oh, now we can't talk about it.
No, the reason I can't talk about it is because we live in a fascist state and our fearless leader won't let me talk about the things I want to talk about.
You guys have another fight in Slack?
I'm assuming he's talking about wrestling and I appreciate his candor.
You would be correct.
Oh, I think I know what. Okay, well, fine. We'll talk off the air, Jesus.
Come on, guys. Aren't you all well rested? I think, like, I took the week off of football pretty much. I watched a little bit, but I didn't watch the Sunday night game. I feel so much better than I did at this point last week. I'm excited to. I think I've taken enough time where I'm ready to accept this Lions team as they are and excited about the next 10 games.
Can there be another bye week right after this one?
We might need one, but I'm riding the optimistic wave right now. It's a Monday. There's no reason to be negative yet. But
people were saying we should not be recording it immediately after a Lions loss. I don't know, man, because we also record them immediately after Lions victories. It's just raw like that. This feels different, though. This hasn't been a feeling we've had in a few months now, where we've come in with like no Lions football to talk about. And yeah, I kind of took the weekend off from football. I was covering a rally, a political rally on Saturday, and I stopped for spicy ramen, found myself in the middle of a cosplayer convention, which was weird. And then Sunday I watched, I could tell you all what I watched. I watched Counter-Strike on Twitch. I watched competitive Counter-Strike. I watched the Lakers game and I watched Tables, Ladders, and Chairs on the WWE Network. Stuck it in there.
Anyways.
What do you think? I think we're not doing the wrestling talk, but I think TLC was the winner of that night, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite thing about it rhymed with Burt Dangle, but I'm not going to talk about it at all because I'm putting on my muzzle, but I was actually kind of the opposite of you guys. Like, I take the bye week as an opportunity to consume all the football I can. Like, I went the complete opposite direction. Like, I watched a bunch on Saturday. I probably watched more college football on Saturday than I'd watched all the other weeks combined. And then on Sunday, I was watching everything. And I mean, in the beginning, like before 2:30 struck, there was nothing to be happy about as a Lions fan. Zero things to be happy about.
We wanted to start with injuries, but do you think we should just jump right into there on what happened on Sunday?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, around the NFC North.
Yeah. Well, I knew today that day was going to be bad when I turned on the radio when I was going out and grabbing just a quick bite to eat on Sunday, and I turned on the radio and hear Brett Hundley rushing 14 yards for a touchdown and a Lambeau leap in the north end. And I'm just thinking, this is hell. This is hell, and I'm living in it.
Very on brand for the Packers to be doing that type of stuff.
But they ended up losing that game.
Yeah, I think that was the last touchdown that they scored in that game. Yeah, they lost 26-17, but they got off to that 7-0 lead right away, just running the ball. Aaron Jones had a heck of a game. But yeah, I think at halftime, all three NFC North teams were winning. And then kind of the Packers, I think they ran out of steam. Humley only had 87 yards passing. But he wasn't the only quarterback in the division who had under 100 yards passing. Because Mitchell Trubisky is, I don't, like, what are they doing with him in Chicago? They are really, is this by design they're kind of towing him along? Are they afraid of something that Trubisky has? Are they just like fine with, hey, we're winning games with our defense and kind of a running game, why bother throwing Trubisky out there?
What, Ryan, do we need to call up Robert Zaglinski and ask him his completely unbiased opinion?
No, because he's dizzy somewhere. I have no idea where he is, but no matter where he is, he's dizzy at all times. But Trubisky, for the record, actually had 107 yards, so let's not shortchange him.
Hold up. They won this game with 107 yards out of Trubisky from their passing, and then only 65 yards on the ground. That's it. That's all they needed to win this game 17-3 against Carolina. What the hell was happening?
They got two quick defensive scores. The very first possession of the game, Carolina drove across midfield, then did this like old school option play, and Cam Newton threw a perfect pitch, and I don't remember who it was, but he dropped it and it just got returned for 75 yards. And then like two possessions later, they got a pick six, and that was it. They rode that 14-point lead for the rest of the game.
Nothing about this game makes sense. Like, if you look at the box score, Carolina had 38 minutes of possession to Chicago's 21. Chicago had 153 yards of total offense.
Jesus.
to Carolina's 293. The Bears had 5 first downs the entire game. They were 2-for-11 on third down. Like, the Bears, how they won that game is a statistical anomaly, but the fact that Trubisky threw the ball 7 times, there were 4 receptions. One catch went for 70 yards. So that explains he had 104 yards passing, 70 of it came on one play.
Jesus. So, okay, so let's go macro here, because I was condemned by a lot of people, yourself included, Ryan, saying that I think the Bears can be a contender in this division. Does this change your mind at all?
Fuck no. Being a contender?
Yeah.
Fuck no.
No. The only thing that it reinforces for me is that I think that their front seven is pretty good. Like, I think that their front seven does a good enough job generating pressure. I mean, you had, they had 7 tackles for loss. They had 5 sacks. I mean, they are able to get a lot of push up front, and it's a scary thing. But notwithstanding, I am not scared of any team who is so scared to have their quarterback throw the ball. And, you know, Jordan Howard he's good. He's a good running back. Like, he's probably one of the better running backs in the NFL. But I think sometimes, like this season, he's kind of struggled with running the ball with any sense of kind of like consistency.
The Bears have a minus 29 point differential so far. More to the point, though, when's the last time we ever saw any team with just a defense and no offense whatsoever to speak of win anything of note? And please don't say the Denver Broncos from that one year, because that's like a fucking anomaly right there.
But I mean, this is,
and that,
this
that
is
was like a world beater defense.
Is this not a classic Chicago Bears team, though, where they're like, they're getting either these big plays on special teams or defense and just kind of coasting with that? I mean, you went down all the stats, but one that you didn't go over is yards per play, which was 4.2 to 4.1.
I don't know what a classic I don't know what a classic Bears team is anymore, to be honest, because we had Jay Cutler for all those years, and then all of a sudden we've just had this flaming mess in front of us. I don't know. Like, I know you're going to say it's, you know, hard Bear football or whatever, but I don't, that sentence doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, if we're just talking like early 2000s, maybe even to mid or late 2000s, the Chicago Bears were defined by their defense and special teams. And that's what it seems like they are now. And I don't think they're going to hold on to Trubisky like this the entire year. The question is whether he eventually gets comfortable with any of the weapons that he does have out there, because if there's a reason this to hold back this pass offense, I think it's just literally Trubisky doesn't have weapons that he's probably comfortable with that most quarterbacks would be comfortable with. But if this team can subsist right now with what they're doing, you can call it sustainable, you can call it unsustainable, who knows, but this defense is good enough where all these games are going to be low scoring. This Carolina Panthers team tore apart the Lions defense, who we thought was pretty damn good. They're earning 4.2 yards per play against the Bears, 4.7 per pass, like nothing, 3.6 on the ground. They're not doing anything.
I'm not doing this with the Bears. I can't. We've been talking for 11 minutes and we haven't even talked about your current NFC North.
I don't want to. The Vikings are such a boring team.
Really? Hold up. You're going to the fucking Chicago Bears, and now you're saying, yeah, the Vikings are boring.
Yep.
Two real quick things to tack on about the Bears. One, Jeremy, thank you for adding the modifier about Trubisky having any weapons that he's comfortable with, because if you disparage Kendall Wright on this podcast, then I'll chokeslam you. Number two.
No wrestling talk.
Latavius Murray had 113 yards against the Ravens.
That's super fun. The Ravens are great. The other real quick thing I wanted to say about the Bears, though, is that don't say that we all thought the Lions defense were for real, Jeremy. I don't know who's this collective we you're talking about. Like, are you talking about fans? Or are you talking about like
mostly fans? But you didn't buy in a little bit after that Minnesota game. Tell me you didn't buy in after that Minnesota game. I bought in after the Minnesota game. I have no qualms saying it.
I still wasn't 100% on board. Like, I definitely said that there was something to the turnovers. Like, I thought that the turnovers are a real thing because of the way that they're playing, the speed that they're getting to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I felt like there were still deficiencies. So, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't give them any credit, but they definitely, like, by the Minnesota game, I will say that they had me won over a little bit more. But I wasn't completely shocked when they got picked apart by the Panthers. So, but then again, like, let's be honest here. The Bears scored all their points on defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, or defense or special teams. So, but anyways, yeah, Latavius Murray. What about him? All those rushing yards against the Baltimore Ravens, who can't put the ball in the end zone.
This is just speaking to it, though. Like, look at the Vikings schedule going forward. Next week, they're going to have, is it next week?
Browns,
Next week, they're going to have the Browns.
Without
Joe Thomas, RIP, and without DeShone Kizer, RIP.
Neither of those guys are dead, but yes.
RIP, Ryan. Spooky Halloween. Then they go to play the Skins. Then they play the Rams, which is like, okay, that's actually, the Rams are a good team now. This is really weird to me, thinking about the Rams being like a world beater team. I say this to myself, prepared once we are done on this podcast to go get my free Wingstop boneless wings from this Rams victory. And then they play, the Lions, which, I mean, I don't know. Can the Lions sweep? I don't know. Then they play the Falcons and the Panthers, neither of which have like been looking consistent. The Falcons got literally smoked out on Sunday night. Bengals and then, yeah, Packers and Bears. Like, they have this path is clear for them to keep this lead.
They're clearly in the driver's seat, and I mean, the future only kind of looks brighter for them. Is Teddy Bridgewater going to play? Kind of looks like he could be ready in like 2 weeks.
Is that good thing, though?
Well, yeah, that's the ultimate question. I think you want him over Case Keenum. Do you want him over Sam Bradford? Not entirely sure. But I fully expect to see Teddy Bridgewater on Thanksgiving against the Lions.
I'm rooting so hard for the Browns. like so hard. You have no idea how bad I want the Browns to win that game next week, man. I you know what? I'll still take dude, the Browns are better than the Rams.
What?
What you know my feelings.
Yeah, you took a big L on that bet.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, so yeah, no, I agree with you, Chris. I think that things have opened up for the Vikings schedule in ways that maybe a lot of people haven't foreseen. But the one thing that is kind of difficult for them, you know, they play an awful lot of games on the road down this stretch, you know, starting with the Lions game on Thanksgiving, or, you know, starting with the Washington game they play in a couple weeks from now. They play at Washington, then they play home against the Rams, but then it's at Detroit, at Atlanta, at Carolina.
Yeah, and I think, like, I'm just looking at it here. They only have, let's see, three. So after that Browns game, they only have two home games. No, three home games.
And the Browns game is in London, so that's not even really a home game.
Yeah. Like, this is quite a bit for them. But I don't know, man. I think they can keep doing it. They can do it on the road. They've been, they won against the Bears, but it was close. But, I mean, we'll have to see. Yeah, I mean, the road record is kind of something to keep an eye on, but they'd have to really bungle this, which, I mean, granted, anyone not named the Packers has a history of bungling things in the NFC North.
That they do.
So, who knows?
I mean, I got to think the Vikings are obviously the clear favorite right now. To go back on what I said last week, I think now the Lions are number two in that spot, almost solely because they already have that game up on the Vikings. So they beat the Vikings on Thanksgiving. Like that's a huge win. I feel like the Lions season kind of comes down to that game already. Like
I can't because Aaron Rodgers is going to come back during the season.
Well, that was going to be the last question I was going to propose to you guys. Do you think the Packers are done? Do you think they can keep their head above water long enough? You know, the earliest Rodgers can come back, I think, is week 15. So they got seven more games without him, or six or seven more games without him.
I think they can, because look, the Saints are just, it's one of those teams that have so much offense. Like, I can't believe Breeze is still doing this at his age. He's still throwing for 300 some yards. But it's a team that absolutely can keep doing this stuff. So I'm not really taking too much away from their loss. They get to play. I mean, we're playing them. The Lions are playing them coming up here. They've got this bye week. Then they play the Lions. Then they go and play the Bears, the Ravens. I mean, some of it's a little rough. Like, they get the Browns, but they also have to get the Steelers. But I think they can. I think they absolutely can hold it above water. I think they get probably Aaron Rodgers back in time for the Buccaneers game.
Ooh.
Or the Browns game. I don't know.
He's on IR, so I don't think he can mathematically come back until week 15.
It's a minimum of 8 weeks. Right.
So he'd come back against the Panthers.
Yeah.
But I mean, with the state, I think this is more a sense of the state of this division, though, is that I just don't think anyone's going to really clear out and become a, you know, go off to the races with this division lead, not even the Vikings. So if they're only like a couple games out, it feels like it's going to be one of those awful things where every piece falls into place for them again to do some bullshit on New Year's Eve.
The best news to come out of all of this is that it's pretty clear to me that the Vikings are going to finish above 500, and Matthew Stafford picked up a road victory against them. So,
oh Christ,
that's a notch in the
We got to take a break. We got to take a break on that. I can't deal with this guy right now. We'll be right back. Pride of Detroit PODcast back in the saddle again. Your empty calories for the week. I'm gonna keep pounding that.
That was
such a weird article, though.
I'm guessing 5% of our listeners know what the hell you're talking about, but I'm fine with it. I like making little obscure jokes like that.
Yeah, go look it up. Google's free. I actually saw someone complain one time that telling her to Google something was like ableist.
Oh boy.
Or something. Twitter's wild. Twitter is insane. but we'll just leave
Twitter
it there.
Twitter is not real life.
Twitter is not real life. That is the biggest life lesson I can give to anyone I meet. Twitter is not real life. Let's talk about the Lions. They're back, baby.
We're only 20 minutes into this podcast. Let's start talking about the Lions.
When we're going to talk
about? We're going to end up talking more about the Bears on this podcast than we will about the Lions.
Whose fault is that? I was trying to move us on to the Vikings, and you wanted to keep talking the Bears.
That's true. I didn't even get to say my hot take that I think the Bears are going to finish with a better record than the Packers this year.
Ooh!
Will the Bears finish with a better record than the Bears Lions?
Lover.
A Bears lover. Pause. What?
Sorry.
He asked if the Bears are going to be better record than the Lions.
No, I'm not. I'm not stupid.
Okay. Okay. Right.
Let's talk about the Lions, because things actually kind of happened on the bye week, right? There was some movement, and recording on Monday, we just got our first kind of sort of injury report. Where should we start, Ryan? I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but where should we start?
I don't even want to talk about it, but what we should begin with is the fact that Glover Quinn practiced on Monday, and that's the biggest surprise that I think that anybody could have not even foreseen happening. Having him back at practice and clearly already like accelerating through concussion protocol is wonderful.
Yeah, it's definitely a shock to me. And when I put together an article last week, kind of projecting who I thought might have a chance at playing on Sunday, and I put him in a category, it was like maybe a couple weeks away, but I did throw in the outlier that's like, well, you know, Davante Adams, that's right, of the Packers, that's his name?
Yes.
Yeah, he took on that huge hit that resulted in the suspension. He ended up playing the next game, and so I held out that little bit of hope that Glover Quinn might be able to play again. I said that fully not believing it, fully thinking I was just reaching for a silver lining, but now I would say he's got a good chance to play this week. I don't necessarily think he's a shoe-in. We saw Jared Davis play practice limited for a couple weeks, but didn't play. And since it's just Monday, there wasn't an official report, so we don't know if Glover was under any sort of restrictions or not. But yeah, this is the best news you could have hoped for out of the bye, I think.
Didn't Quinn get hit with a pretty big concussion in 2015 as well, and he came back pretty quickly from what I remember?
You know, now that you mention it, I feel like he got injured in the Saints game a couple of years ago in New Orleans.
Yeah, and I think he came back like that next game too.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a concussion or not, but it felt like a serious injury and like, oh wow.
Yeah, this could have been absolutely where I could have done some show prep.
Adequate. Let's talk about some other injury news. Golden Tate out of practice. I think it's pretty safe to say he's not going to be playing this week.
Yeah, I think we saw him at Notre Dame in the lead up to the Notre Dame SC game, and his arm was in the sling. Was that the story? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Ian Rappaport, God love him and his injury reports. He said that he has an AC joint sprain and is going to miss a couple of weeks. And so that was last week. A couple of weeks could mean just one more game. It could just mean two or three more games. We don't really know, but I think it's pretty safe to say he's going to be out against the Steelers.
That's a disaster.
It's not great, but Kenny Galladay practiced.
I love this segment. This segment should be called Silver Linings with Reisman.
Just desperate clinging to Flotsam, saying, oh, this is a fine sturdy boat.
This is the kind of happy Jeremy that I really like. He's off the bye week. He's rejuvenated. Football is a magical thing again.
Watch me undo all your favors right now.
Don't.
In the case of Kenny Galladay, let's call this segment Silver Linings Play Rook.
Ah! I fucking hate you. I hate you so much.
Oh, man.
That was beautiful. Oh, God. Especially that 3 seconds of dead air.
Yeah, that's going to sound really great on the playback.
It warmed my soul. Every single second of it.
I just, I want to reach, I'm going to drive up there from Central LA to where I know you live, and you do not want me to keep sharing your actual like neighborhood, but I will drive up there and just Christ. Play Rook. That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, he's a rookie. He's gonna play Rook. It's beautiful.
Come on, anyway. Get on to your stupid fucking segment.
I don't even get the joke.
Silver Linings Playbook? You haven't heard of that movie?
No, just don't explain it. Just do the fucking podcast. So
Kenny Galladay is a rookie. He's injured, but he might play.
I will turn this conference call around.
Okay, well, no, you wanted to get into something too, because with all these injuries to the Lions wide receivers, Tate obviously not going to play. We still don't really know if Kenny Galladay is going to play. A lot of people have been talking about adding a certain guy, and that's one Martavis Bryant, who once again sent a clear message to the Steelers that he doesn't want to be on that team. He didn't show up to team meetings today. He took a quote-unquote sick day after also commenting on Instagram to somebody that he thinks he's better than teammate Juju Schuster-Smith. And he, once the Steelers start giving him the ball, everyone's going to see that guy's on his way out for Pittsburgh. But does that mean the Lions should really be taking a look?
I'm going to pass on the Martavis Bryant stuff. And
yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
I'm really okay. I'm really okay with the Lions not adding Martavis Bryant. Few things. I guess it depends on the scenario in which it plays itself out, because I don't want the Lions to trade any type of draft capital in order to acquire him. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that the Lions are deep enough at any position to warrant trading a player for him. With that being said, Jeremy, I'll let you get into why you don't think it's a good move. But for me personally, I don't think Martavis Bryant does a whole lot to remedy the problems that the Lions have. Like, their big problem is being able to protect the quarterback and also to get after the quarterback on defense. And Martavis Bryant doesn't help either of those things. So
I'm going to let Jeremy get to his point here. But my big complaint with this hypothetical that every hack in Michigan seems to be running with is that it's okay. I don't like the Sun Tzu person. I don't like the Art of War person. What kind of universe do you live in where the Steelers are like, yeah, sure, we'll trade you Martavis Bryant the week before we play
right,
you.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. And I'm like Ryan has been teasing. I don't think it should happen. I do think that he solves a problem the Lions have, which is having a deep threat that can be that kind of physical jump ball receiver that Marvin Jones is supposed to be, but hasn't been for his first year and a half here. But there's every other issue with this guy. There's the fact that he's been suspended for a year and a half already in his short career. There's the fact that he's clearly a White House. He's clearly a locker room cancer. He's throwing his own teammates under the bus. He clearly has a problem with not getting the ball. And the Lions like to spread the ball a lot. You know, there are games when Golden Tate doesn't have a big game and everyone's like, what's going on with Golden Tate? Why is he on his way out? Should the Lions trade him? Like, this sort of stuff happens on a week-to-week basis in Detroit. He's not going to be happy here. Jim Caldwell is not going to want that sort of negative attitude in the locker room. And like Ryan was saying, there are much more pressing issues to this offense that are causing it to fail than the fact that the receivers aren't getting open. The receivers not getting open is a problem. But if you're going to test defenses deep, Stafford needs to be able to hold on to the ball for more than 2 seconds.
Yep.
So I love the fit of Martavis Bryant in terms of his skill set. But since you have Marvin Jones and you're pretty much locked into him for the next 2 years because of his monster contract, and you're probably going to want to hold on to Golden Tate, and Kenny Galladay is going to be long for a while, I don't even see a long-term fit with Martavis Bryant. And presumably the Lions receivers are going to be healthy in a month. So you're trading for a guy that you're going to need for the next 3 weeks. That's a complete waste to me. And I understand the Lions are in a desperate time right now where they need to keep pace with the Vikings while they still can, but that is a completely desperation move and short-sighted and makes no sense to me.
If I'm trading for any wide receiver, his name's Larry Fitzgerald. And And to be honest, I would wait that out. I mean, I think that the Cardinals are going to realize pretty soon that they're not contenders anymore and that a spot in the playoffs is just not going to happen for them. So,
well, you can't wait out too long because the trade deadline's next week. So,
I mean, then they probably should have figured it out last night when their starting quarterback is going to be out for 2 months now, and they're going to, and Drew Stanton is their starter. So, if Supergirl is ever starting at quarterback for your team, it's not going to be a good time. So, I don't know. Like, I guess I don't have a huge problem. You know, Martavis Bryant, like, I whatever, take it or leave it. I don't care. I don't get all the hand-wringing over him. But, like, if you could go out and get somebody like Larry Fitzgerald, I would have zero problem with it. I wouldn't see that as desperation or anything because he's a guy who's so versatile. Play him wherever. Yeah. And Kenny Galladay, I mean, I'm sorry, Rook. But, I mean, you know, you
just play Rook?
You just fell on the depth chart to one of the top 10 wide receivers of all time. So,
all right, there's one more injury to talk about here.
All right.
Other than, I mean, Paul Orlow returned, which is good news. The Lions have a little more depth on the linebacking crew. TJ Lang also returned. He's probably going to play after sitting out with a back injury. But I hate to say this, but this is kind of a big injury. Greg Robinson missed practice with an ankle injury. So did one of his backups, Emmett Cleary. Both missed practice on Monday. I'm of the belief that neither of them play, which means I don't know who the Lions left tackle is going to be on
Dan
Saturday.
Cleary.
On
Dan
Sunday.
Cleary. Dan Cleary. Dan Cleary is going to play left tackle.
Oh, God.
It would be Brian Mahalik, wouldn't it? Would it not be?
Probably. It could be the guy that they picked up last week, Bryce Harris, who I admittedly know very little about.
Who is that?
He was on, God, I can't even remember what team he was on, but he started like two games at left tackle total and, you know, did okay, but he hasn't started a game since like 2014.
Taylor Decker, we miss you.
Yeah. And that's, seriously, I guess that's the other, shit. The other news is Taylor Decker did not practice despite being able to practice now that he's eligible to return from the PUP list. Still on the PUP list, though. No indication when he's going to come off. Some feel it might be soon. But even if he were to practice, I think on Wednesday, when I think the Lions are going to practice next, I think it's extremely doubtful that he would be ready for Sunday, which means against one of the best pass rushes in the league, the Lions are going to try it out. Brian Mihalik, who had a sack of his own last week when he just got shoved right into Stafford's side.
That's enough Lions talk. That's enough Lions talk.
You're done. You're out.
Yeah. I want to do a list cast.
It's been too long. You're right.
Let's list cast.
Whoa.
What are you stopping me from?
We're not going to just completely write off the fact that Brad Kaya was...
I forgot.
Oh, this is why Jeremy was so eager to get out of the segment. Okay.
I gave Ryan an opening at the beginning of the segment. I thought he was going to take it.
But I was doing good work.
You were.
Respect me. Right. Respect my craft.
You're behaving this podcast. I can only say that of one of you.
Brad Kaya is no longer with us anymore.
We didn't even get to podcast while he was on the team. He's coming back, though. I get a feeling he's going to clear waivers, and if he clears waivers, I don't think there's any question that he comes back on the practice squad.
Yeah, fine. All right, I'm on list cast.
Are you going to tease what we're list casting?
No, you're going to have to find out. All right, let's start our list cast. Ah, finally, list cast. It's back. It's good again. Oh, Wolf Howl. Feels so good to hear that music again. Last year, did we ever do Halloween candy, Ryan? Or I feel like we did Halloween candy, but it doesn't make sense to me because I could have sworn Kyle Yost was on for Halloween candy, but I know that's not true. He was on for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, but we definitely had a conversation about Halloween candy because you're thinking about Kyle Yost because he stood up and said, well, I actually kind of like candy corn.
That's right, he did.
Yeah, so I know for a fact that we did a candy-less cast at some point.
Kyle, I love Kyle and I also hate him.
Oh, I miss Kyle. Kyle needs to come back to the podcast.
He does.
He'll come back for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, let's bring him back for Thanksgiving.
Bring him back for his fruit salad takes.
All right, so what are we list casting today then, if we're not doing candy?
We're doing Halloween costumes. Halloween's coming up. I wanted to do something completely different, and Jeremy said, well, that's not really very helpful in audio form, and I'm just like, shut up, Jeremy. But here we are. We're doing it. We could have been doing list casting for Halloween costumes next week. We're doing it now because I have been missing doing these list casts. We're doing it. It's back. Only top five, though. Only top five, but it's Halloween costumes. And I think we all have different criteria for this, much like we had different criteria for our infamous As Seen on TV list cast. So this is bound to be a fun one then.
Now I kind of want to add that electrocution face to my to my Halloween costume list.
Electric toning mask. Okay, so why don't we start with Jeremy and give the criteria before you do your five and four?
Okay. Yes. So my criteria, because when I first pitched the idea, my idea was that we were going to do the top five Halloween costumes that we have personally worn before, because I think it might be fun for our listeners to picture, and maybe I'll throw out a picture that you can see some of these that I've actually worn before. So my top five list is a top five list of costumes that I've worn. And I am actually notoriously bad at Halloween. I didn't like doing it as a kid. I don't like the attention. But I've kind of gotten a little bit more into it as an adult, which I don't know what that says about my personality, but yeah, so that's what this list is. And I have to admit, it's not very good, but it's getting better. All right. So my number five, after that long-winded intro, is Bob Ross, the painter. And was inspired purely out of my laziness because I had a Jufro at the time. Bob Ross has a pretty impressive Jufro. And so all I had to do was like throw on a button-up shirt and make a little painting palette out of cardboard. And there, boom, Halloween costume.
Really seeing the artistic value here that Jeremy brings to this. You're four. So actually, you know what? Let's do fives all around. Let's do one apiece since there's only five of us. So Ryan, what's your criteria and what's your number five?
My criteria is I'm just looking for the best things to dress up for on Halloween. Like, I mean, like practical, impractical doesn't make a difference to me. I mean, I'm just the five best things that you could dress up, because you don't want to be that one person at the party who's like, do I have to wear a costume to the party? And it's like, nobody wants to be stuck being the only guy in like a t-shirt and a graphic tee. So my five is the inflatable T-Rex thing. That thing still gets me. I don't care. I'm 12 years old. Like it still just amuses me to no end to see that thing with the head and the arms flailing around. So the inflatable T-Rex costume is definitely become a staple.
That's a good answer.
I like it. My five, I'm kind of with Ryan here. I'm kind of just going on whatever. There's a clear pattern here, though. I only say that because I don't actually have a pattern, but I just want you to think that this is maybe kind of neat. But at number five, I have a hockey mask. Just throw on a hockey mask, I guess. One of those old-timey ones. Go as Freddy. I don't give a fuck. Hockey mask.
That comes out of like the Jeremy Reisman lazy Halloween face or game plan.
What, just going as Jason Voorhees is like your lazy option there?
Well, like when I was a kid, I would throw on my Barry Sanders jersey and that's it. I'm like, oh, I'm Barry Sanders. That's how lazy I got.
That's got to be like everyone who comes from like a football family. Just get some Pop Warner pads, get a jersey that no longer fits you, and just throw it on the kid and have him waddle around. All right, Jeremy, number four.
My number four is I was one half of the Wild and Crazy Guys from SNL skit. the Festrunk brothers, I think is what they're called. And that just involved like a trip to, you know, some Salvation Army type place and grabbing the most ridiculous 70s looking costumes ever. And if I had chest hair, that would have been blowing in the breeze, but instead it was just my bare hairless chest.
Your bare hairless chest.
What you got for me, Ryan?
Number four. This is like one of my favorite movies. It might be my favorite Eddie Murphy movie, but dress up as Prince Hakim from Coming to America. But when he's dressed up as like when they first get there and they get all the New York merchandise and he's wearing like the Mets shirt, he's wearing the Mets coat. Yeah.
is there an inspiration? Have you seen someone dressed up like that?
No, but I've seen people dress up as Axel Foley. So, like, with the whole, like, Lions jacket that I know they re-released and everything. So, like, that's cool. But, like, I don't know. Switch it up. Be a different character.
Number four for me. I've got, let's see here. What is this? Okay, yeah. Let's go with Vampire. Just on it. No. Like, look, listen. The Vampire costume is quintessential because you know what? There's about like 80 different ways you can portray a vampire now. You don't even need to have a cape anymore or like a cravat or whatever the hell that Dracula wore. Just if you have a long trench coat around or something, or just like a black sheet, suddenly you're like a vampire from Blade. There's a lot of different ways to do vampire.
You know what's even better about that is that it just made me think of a completely new costume for number three.
Oh, really?
On my list.
I can't wait to hear it. Jeremy, what's your number three?
Wait, is it Eddie Murphy in Interview with a Vampire?
He's not in Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, who's in I thought that was his movie, no?
That's a Brad Pitt movie.
What he's in a vampire movie, though, right?
He is in a vampire movie.
Whatever. We'll get to it when it's your turn. My number three, and this was when I was a really little kid, I went as Blanca from Street Fighter.
God.
And my best friend went as, I think, Giel. I don't even know how. Giel? Is that how you pronounce it? Guile, the blonde haired.
No, I know who you're talking about, yeah. But I don't know how to pronounce it either. I'm going to say Guile, and I'm just probably wrong.
Yeah, so we kind of went as a duo, me and my best friend back then, and it was just like, it was one of those like mesh zip-up costumes with like the plastic mask. And I'm pretty sure I bailed on him because I got too embarrassed because I hated it. But looking back, I would want to do Blanca again. So number three on my list.
What an awful friend you are.
It was the tuft of hair on the chest. That I think that's what killed me. The reddish orange tuft of hair.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good at all. Eddie Murphy was in a really bad movie called Vampire in Brooklyn.
That's right.
But my number three, based on what, I mean, Chris was talking about the long trench coats. Why not go as like a street peddler and like just like somebody who hawks watches on like the corner with a big, like the big oversized trench coat. And then if you put a headset on, then you're Jim Caldwell.
Okay. Here I thought you were going to go with that like one costume I keep seeing a meme of on Twitter where it's like it's just like a long poncho thing and it just you can either be a priest or internet man. Because like you could also use it for like a Neo costume, but yeah.
Or you could be a flasher.
Yeah, that works too. Number three for me is kind of meme-ish, kind of like what Ryan had with the T-Rexes, except a little older. I love those horse heads. Throw one of those horse head masks.
Yeah, those are nuts. Go to town.
Yeah. I had one of those. Gave it to my stepsister, and I'm kind of regretting it. I could really use it out here.
I feel might like
order another one.
That's a good way to like you know how people do like hybrid costumes, like, I don't know, I can't think of a good example, but I feel like something with that horse head, something different with a horse head would be a good costume.
You gave me a great idea for this Halloween. I'm going to go as horse head Chris Berman.
That reminds me, one of the ideas thrown my way, and it's because of my good friend Harry, who listens to the podcast, he wanted me to go as Pee Wee Berman.
That would be phenomenal.
I don't think I had it the effort to pull it off, but I think it's hilarious. I'm just saying, if you guys have a last minute idea and you go as Pee Wee Berman, please do it and send it to us, because I would love to see it. My number two, this is going to be a weird one because I don't think anyone knows who this character is, but it was one of the costumes I put the most effort into, and that's a character. Nick Kroll does this character called Fabrice, which is, he's this flamboyant character where he's he does craft food services for a bunch of TV shows, and I just really enjoyed doing it because I got to like envelop his persona for the night, which was just like being super loud and rude. And I was out drinking that night, so it kind of I kind of slid into the character pretty easily, and it was just a fun thing to do. But that's one where I will not provide a picture on because it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Ryan?
Yeah, you need me to do my number two?
Yes.
Go as the Hamburglar.
I guess works.
Go as the Hamburglar.
You're gonna throw support like for McDonald's?
Why? They stole all our hopes and dreams anyway, so why not go as the living embodiment of what their corporation stands for? I'm gonna be honest, I didn't even have a list cast ready, so I'm just throwing out random stuff. But my number one is incredible.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, let me do my number two here. Number two, Cobra Kai skeleton.
What?
You know how, like, yeah, Karate Kid, how the Cobra Kai wore those dope, like, full body skeleton things, and they just painted their faces with white. It was a skeleton, a Cobra Kai skeleton. Get beat up by an old Asian guy.
Oh, that's dope. Great. I remember that scene now. Okay.
Number one, Jeremy, happy honors.
My number one, and this was back in the college days, also kind of thrown together last minute, but I think I pulled it off as well as I could have. I went as Prince for Halloween.
What?
Yeah. I had like this shiny purple jacket. I made a Prince logo out of tin foil and hung it across my neck. And I grew out just a little bit of like a crustache.
Did you carry a basketball around with you or no?
I didn't. I went to the Michigan hockey game that night, so I didn't have a lot of props outside of the logo.
I can commend you for that. Nice job.
That was also a fun one to kind of embody the personality of.
You know what I loved about that Cobra Kai scene? Now that I look at it, I'm watching it right here. The kid, I forget his name. Is he the Karate Kid? I didn't really watch the whole movie. He's wearing a Chargers jersey, number 89 for Wes Chandler. Just food for thought.
What a fun and exciting and sexy time for us on this list cast.
Let's get number one from you, Ryan.
My number one, and if I end up doing anything this Halloween, I'm definitely going as this person. Guy Fieri.
Fieri?
Wouldn't it be incredible to just, you know, color your hair blonde for the night, get some frosted tips.
Wait, for the night? Shirt. Do you know how hair dye works?
Chop them off at the end. Shave your head.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. How incredible would it be to just go and get as much silver tacky jewelry that you can get on yourself so that you can probably get gangrene or something on your fingers? Like, just for one night. Just for one night to be Guy Fieri. Just like for one night. Just to walk around and to yell at people, you know, like, I'm going to take you to Flavortown.
If I was ever rich enough and wanted to do that, I think I would rent a, like, red Corvette for the night and just, like, drive down Sunset Boulevard all night.
Oh, with the sweatbands, with the wristbands and the silver jewelry. Like, I don't know how anybody can hate Guy Fieri.
He's so good. I love him. Did you see he was like giving out like food? He was like helping out. He was like doing barbecue up in Northern California during the fires.
Yeah.
Just like cooking up for people and first responders. Awesome. Like he's so fucking badass. I can't imagine the time where people just hated him for random reasons. Doesn't make sense. My number one, and I mean, that would have been a really good number one for me, Ryan, because I'm going with like the most lazy costumes I can think of.
Yeah.
And my number one is just the Joker.
Which iteration, though?
That's exactly it. Once again, much like Vampire, there's several different ways you can do Joker. Really easy to do it. Just go and rummage through a dumpster and suddenly your what's his face?
Heath Ledger.
Yes, thank you. No one cares who Heath Ledger was. Get yourself a nice suit. Suddenly you're Jack Nicholson. I don't know why you have a purple suit laying around, but hey, you know what? Just some white stuff on your face, man. Just go for it. A little bit of a vest, you're Heath Ledger again. Who cares?
I'm sorry.
This is a holiday for people with way too much money on their hand. I'm trying to save you some cash here by telling you the laziest things you can go as. A horse head only costs you like, what, $20 on Amazon. That's probably the most expensive one thing I've listed here. Well, the hockey mask might go for a little more.
It is entirely too late to go as a Heath Ledger Joker this year. If I see a Heath Ledger Joker, I'm going to be real mad at that person.
Well,
you missed the boat. That you have to do a lot of makeup and shit for that. Like, if you're putting in that sort of effort for a character that's now like 10 years old,
literally,
people will do it. A, people will do it. B, it's not a ton of work. C, look, man, the Joker is scary. He's scary. He'll scare the hell out of you. He's so real. He says things that are like so real and frightening. You're like, wow, who's the real monster here? Is it the Joker? Or is it society?
Or we didn't even mention this, but you could do like how Jeremy did with Prince and grow out a little bit of a crustache, and then all of a sudden you're Cesar Romero.
I'm surprised none of us had like a, well, I mean, Jeremy kind of had when he was talking about, you know, being dressed up as Barry Sanders, but none of us had like sports players on here, which is probably for the best.
There was one year that I went, I had a Slapshot jersey, and I had two other friends, and we went as the Bash Brothers.
Okay, I can buy that.
The Hanson Brothers. Why did I say the Bash Brothers?
Yeah, I was going to say, but I can buy that, but that's really about it. I don't want to see any other sports-related costumes. Should we do the mailbag?
If I could have grown out facial hair, I would have done Jay Billingsley this year.
Let's get to the mailbag.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
Mail time.
The mail's here.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail time. Hashtag ask POD. We finally got back and reported back to making a thread today on prideofdetroit.com. So we have some questions from there. But first, as always, Jeremy, you've got a mailbag for us. I mean, reviews for us. Wow, I'm adequate.
Yes, we got 5 reviews we still need to get through. We'll go through 2. We'll start out with a 3-star podcast from DesNuts431. Very clever.
Says, hold up, didn't we read a review from DesNuts before?
I don't think so. We threw it in the Slack room. I don't think I reviewed it out loud.
I feel like we have, but
I kicked an 11th grader out of class the other day for saying D's nuts.
Good for you. Anyways, this title is called OK Podcast. He says, the Lions talk is good. The Lions talk is a bore. And then in parentheses, 20% of the podcast. Well, Des Nuts, you're going to hate this episode. Sorry.
You didn't say it. You meant the non-Lions stuff is a bore.
Oh, that's what I meant to say. I didn't say that. Anyways, next review, 5 stars from Malachi 313. He says, love the content, hate the mailbag. Okay, guys. So I absolutely love the Lions insider info along with the adequate reporting on Lions news, which the host Chris brings. I love that you guys come on two times a week now that the season has started, but enough mail time. I'd rather hear you guys talk wrestling. LOL. Love the podcast. Matt Derry gives you guys props almost daily. Thanks for what you do. Seriously, signed, Malachi, Detroit.
Well, Malachi, we'll give you what you want. What do you think about tables, ladders, and chairs, Ryan?
No! How dare you? He was being sarcastic.
I don't know, man.
Man, I'm freaking out right now. Did you see that the Justice League movie is the shortest DC, like, extended universe film to date? Like, it's over an hour shorter than Batman vs. Superman?
Thank Christ. Yeah, there's no reason why a comic book movie should be more than 90 minutes.
There's no reason that, like, movies in general should usually be longer than 2 hours.
No, you know what? I did see Blade Runner, and I think that was, like, close to a that was, like, a 2.5 hour affair, and that was fine. That was fine, because that's good, but, like, superheroes are, like, the epitome of, like, ephemeral non-culture bullshit. And should be treated as such.
Unless you're, like, making a Spider-Man film, and, like, the difference between a 140-minute runtime, 120-minute runtime is 20 minutes dedicated to the plot of Uncle Ben, then you have to go for the 140.
I guess. Let's start here with the Dark Hooves. Who would win in a fight between the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, and the Crocodile Hunter, Steve Irwin? Who's the real king of nature?
Don't despair. No, are you kidding me? Why would you even ask a question like that? When is that Ric Flair 30 for 30 coming on? Because because he's a sports icon.
Woo!
You guys are going to talk about the dead like that, huh?
I'm sorry. I just think that I think it'd be real easy for Rick to get Steve Irwin in a figure four.
Steve Irwin would approve of this. He'd want to try to wrestle it. He wouldn't win, but that's fine. John Whitaker, what's the best Halloween / horror movie franchise?
Jeremy's going to say Spider-Man, but that doesn't count.
I've got two answers for this. One, whichever one has the least amount of fucking sequels. Seriously, I saw they're making another Saw movie.
They are, but isn't it called Jigsaw?
It's called Jigsaw, but it's still Saw.
Dude, I remember, like, during high school, my friends and I would go see the new one that came out literally every year. It was like a Call of Duty video game.
Yeah, pretty much. The best horror movie franchise, though, is Alien. And technically, I mean, like, can I even use that, Ryan? Because, like, half the time it's not even horror. It, like, switches up every now and then. Because, like, Aliens was absolutely, like, it was horror, but it was also, like, really heavy on the action, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'll allow it because it's just a great film regardless. Like, once you get past like 1 and 2, it's like, do we really need any more? But I think that goes back to your point of like, whichever one has the least amount of sequels.
Well, I kind of dug Alien Resurrection. I think 3 was the lowest point, and I still find some enjoyment. I found enjoyment out of Prometheus and out of Alien Covenant. Thought Covenant was fine. So, but like, yeah, we're talking what, 6 movies there compared to how many, Friday the 13th movies there's been.
I feel like our answers are not going to be satisfying for whoever asked the question, because I'm not a horror movie fan. So my tendency is to answer Gremlins, which I know does not count, but
I'll allow that. What do you say, Ryan?
The Evil Dead franchise.
Ooh. Ooh.
It's like the only acceptable answer for me. Like I love my horror with like a lot of comedy thrown on top of it. If you're in the Metro Detroit area, you need to go see The Evil Dead at the City Theater. It's definitely worth its weight in gold.
Are they doing that now instead of like Rocky Horror Picture Show? They're going with like Evil Dead Army of Darkness.
Yeah, they put on one play that literally spans like the entire like franchise, which is it's so funny. It's so good. It's nice. A musical. Yeah, it's great.
All right. Let's go to the thread. Joseph R. Sweeney, anyone watching Stranger Things?
I watched it. The second season isn't out yet, but yeah. I enjoy it. It's not quite as good as the hype it gets, but it's fine. I'll watch the second season.
I feel like Jeremy's done a good enough job of already pissing off a lot of our listenership, but I'll take it one step further. I haven't watched a single minute or episode of
You know what Stranger Things. You know what Stranger Things is? Empty calories.
Ooh, I love this. Come on, hold on. Chris, keep feeding us questions. I wanna bring the hot takes. All right.
Well, here, let's go. Bud Dog. If this coaching staff were condiments, who would be which and why?
Ooh, this is a fantastic question. This is almost a question I feel like I need some prep for, but
just go with it. Come on. Because I've got something for you right now. I'm gonna go with Jim Bob Cooter has gotta be like something that gives you the runs.
Jim Bob Cooter is Hunt's ketchup. Like, okay. You're usually always like, yeah, ketchup is really good. Like, we're really happy with ketchup. But then all of a sudden you bring out the non-name brand. You bring out the stuff that's not Heinz. And all of a sudden you're like, wow.
What do you think it is? Like, what do you think it is that makes Heinz that different? Or is it just everything else? Every other ketchup's just trash.
I don't know.
Sugar.
It might be the sugar thing. Do you know what the best ketchup is though? Like out of the when you're at I almost just did it.
You're gonna say it. McDonald's, weren't you? You were gonna say McDonald's.
I was gonna say at some fast food restaurant where you get it out of the little plastic. Yeah, the pumps, but yeah, they have the nozzles. I don't know, for some reason the ketchup just tastes better from that, but that ship has sailed.
Caldwell is ranch. It's palatable, but it people try to use it on things that it doesn't really belong on.
I think that's a really good answer.
Terrell Austin is honey mustard, because when you use it the right way, man, you're like, honey mustard's the best sauce. And then after a while, you're like, isn't there anything else?
Yeah, no, that's a really good one too.
See, I was gonna say honey mustard for Jim Bob Cooter, mostly because I don't really like mustard, and honey mustard tricks me at first. It's like, oh, this is actually good. And I'm like, wait, no, 3 bites in, nope, this isn't good. Nope.
These are really strong answers on a dime. I like it. All right, I gave you that one, Ryan, to warm you up for this one from Yvette S19. Your hottest take ever. Football or non-football, you choose.
You guys should have these loaded because you both did that unpopular opinion thing, right?
I did, but I don't think I ever got to the take. Yeah, I kind of shitted up this timeline by doing the unpopular opinion. People, I think I got up to like 38, and I don't think I did all 38 likes. But I tried, man. Lord, I tried. As I said, one of my unpopular opinions is this game was not meant to be finished.
Yeah. The closest thing I'm going to get to it is saying, like, Michael Jackson was actually overrated. And Prince is the clear king of pop.
Let's hope Andrew Cotto doesn't listen to this for a couple weeks, because he's going to get all up in your mentions.
I'm trying to think which one, like, of the takes I had people pushing back on. I think they were both video game takes. One is that Mercy is fine to play in Overwatch.
Yeah.
And the other one was that Half-Life 2 wasn't good.
Yeah, I feel like that would strike a chord with a lot of people, but Half-Life 2 is literally the reason why we're stuck with a bunch of silent protagonists in video games.
That's why I hated it. Yeah, that's why I hated Half-Life 2, because everyone's like, oh, we got to make our heroes silent. They can't say anything because we want the player to identify with them. It's like, no, you've just made it really, really boring.
I'm trying to think of one other good take that I can come up with here that's really strong.
Well, I got one that will go against Ryan. I don't really dig into 80s, 90s wrestling that much.
I'm just ready for the next question.
I feel like mine, it's not an exciting answer because it's already well known, but I think like my mozzarella sticks take definitely gets the most pushback, but I'm sticking with that. Mozzarella sticks are not good.
I gotta say, have you seen this other game going around now, Ryan, about like likes for video game answers?
What? Oh, yeah, I did see that. I'm never doing one of those things ever again.
I want to do it, but I don't think I get enough likes to finish it. As it is, like, I don't know. I think one of my like hottest takes is that I want Eric Garland to shut the hell up forever.
Fair enough.
He tried to ruin the Moscow Mule for me, and I can't do it.
I'll throw another one out there that's kind of football related. I think Chris Collinsworth is the best color analyst of all time.
Who's his competition?
Yeah, like color. Hold on. Here comes these idiots driving the bikes again. Who is like color is a very recent addition to sports broadcasting, I feel like. Like it's kind of been around, but no one's really been a great like color commentator. It's been a very shallow pool.
I guess people hate Collinsworth for whatever reason. I think it's kind of the same reason Tony Romo is starting to like rub people the wrong way. I don't mind Tony Romo, but he is a little bit over the top.
Okay, I've got a couple of zombie outbreak questions here. Here comes the bikes again. Okay. I'm going to take the Troy Kilgore one instead of CB Russ, because this one's like toned it down to three players. So we got Darius Slay, Miles Killebrew, and Amir Abdullah getting caught in a Detroit zombie apocalypse. Which one survives?
I feel like I would always just trust being with a guy named Miles Killebrew on my side. And by the way, he's a large individual.
I'm imagining this playing out kind of like Left 4 Dead, which means that I don't see A'shaun Robinson among the survivors. So I'm assuming he's like that giant hulking zombie that comes out and wipes the entire party. So my answer is nobody.
Well, we all know Amir Abdullah is going to get hurt when he's running. So it's not him.
He's dead first.
I feel like I have to go with Miles too, though. Like that dude is fucking jacked. And I feel like that dude can wield an axe like nobody on the team.
I could see it. Where'd he play? He played at like what? Somewhere in Utah.
He's also from Nevada. So, but
oh yeah, Nevada, yeah. Either way, you know, country boy there. So, let's go to a CB Russ question though. Is it illegal to hide my Halloween candy from my family? I feel like it should be.
Yeah, I mean, you should share. But at the same time, it depends on what you're hiding, because you can be selfish and hide the good stuff for yourself. Like if there are any Butterfingers in there, you should definitely set those to the side.
What about a full-size Butterfinger bar?
Oh, now I got cravings. But here's the thing. Have you guys tried these Butterfinger cups?
Shut up.
Like trying to take over the Reese's Cup game now? Is that what that is?
I'm just saying they're pretty good. They're pretty, pretty, pretty good.
We haven't taken any Lions. We've taken some Lions questions, but this is why I like having mailbag where it is. Let's see here. Ty from at Finchy. He wants to ask us, Finch Ty, what color is a mirror?
Silver? I don't know. This is one of those philosophical questions. What's the sound of one hand clapping, that sort of thing?
I'm too tired to even think of this.
This is actually a really good question, but I don't want to answer it.
Hold that card.
Yeah, no.
Good enough place to end the podcast. What do you think?
On our non-answer?
Yeah, pretty much. Here, I'm going to open up a Starburst on the mic.
Is it pink?
It is pink. Holy shit. That was a good guess. All right, we can end the podcast.
That's the only one's worth eating.
Thank you for listening to the Pride Detroit PODcast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Brian Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you, Starside.